Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new live episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord, and as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. This show today is going to be a wonderful investment in your time because we have a really great author here today. His name is Jim Phillips. He wrote a book that I really love, and I'm excited to share it with you. And I think that you're going to find some really affirming messages in Jim's material as well as in his book. So you're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to talk about many important spiritual topics that other books don't cover, including we're going to touch on how we have to be selfish on our spiritual journeys. We're going to talk about discernment. We're going to talk about the importance of owning your gifts and what it means to live in full expression. So get ready. This is a wonderful, wonderful book, and I'm excited to talk with Jim. Before I bring him on the air, I do want to share with you a few announcements, as always. Today is July 16th, and for those of you who follow the astrology that I share with you, today is the day that Jupiter goes into Leo. This is a big dynamic shift, and if you're feeling it, if you're feeling that energy shift, please know that it is significant, and I would recommend listening to the previous astrology show I did that talked all about the energies of Jupiter in Leo. Now, the other big announcement I have to share with you is that just this past weekend, I started revealing the project that I've been working on for a long time. It's called spiritualityuniversity.com. And we just did a little mini grand opening, and we started a Facebook page, and we have a contest going on right now. It's actually a giveaway where you can win 6 mastery courses over the course of a year. So please go check out spiritualityuniversity.com. Get on the email list because this is going to be a whole new way for you to connect with really important teachers, healers, authors, and messengers. Now, on a personal note, I have to share with you that, as you know, I'm an author, and I have my spiritual business, and I have a lot going on. But what I love about Spirituality University is that I get to share with you other people. And that's really important to me because I found that it's actually a little bit tricky to always share your own stuff. You know, my passion is promoting other people, and that's why I love having guests on the show. That's why I love connecting you with really inspiring people. And Spirituality University is where you're going to meet not only exceptional teachers, but take courses from them. And every course, affordable. It's not going to be ridiculously priced. It's going to be a very practical way for you to continue on your spiritual path and grow from top quality people. So I'm going to be talking more about spiritualityuniversity.com But check it out and discover, you know, what we have on the horizon and what's coming, because I think for many of you, this is exactly what you've been looking for. So on that note, I'm going to joyfully introduce to you our guest today. His name is Jim Phillips, and you can find his website at prosperitybydesign.com. You can click on over there right now, prosperitybydesign.com. And Jim is the CIO, Chief Inspiration Officer, at his company. He is a gifted speaker, author, seminar leader, and certified life, spiritual, and business coach. So you can see he brings a lot to the table. He has a lot of great skills and information to share. For the better part of 30 years, he has been an entrepreneur and business leader, inspiring others to higher levels of achievement through his presentations and seminars throughout the United States and parts of Europe. But his true passion is the exploration and application of spiritual law as it applies to prosperity and overall quality of life. One of Jim's gifts is his ability to help others understand and apply complex spiritual concepts to their personal life. His book, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, is the result of lifetimes of knowing and understanding he had a very specific message to share about our connection to divinity. And of course, this message had to be when the time is right. And as all of you are probably aware, that time is now. You know, we are ready for this information and these messages. And so Jim is here to talk to us about all of these messages. And Jim, I welcome you to the program. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, Molly. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for being here. I really enjoyed your book, and I'm excited to talk more about the messages that you share. And just before we get started, I want to let people know that the title to the book, The Key to Life, the word life stands for living in full expression. And I think that is such a genius way of describing life. And so I just want to ask you straight off the top here, Jim, how did that come to you, that acronym for life?
I have this thing with words. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. There's a couple of other words that you probably saw in the course of the book that also were acronyms that described what the word itself meant, but in a different way than how we might ordinarily describe the word. As you just said, life, living in full expression. A long time ago, this was probably 10 or 15 years ago, I was looking at the word life, and I actually used it for the acronym for living it fully every day, because I knew that there was so much more that I could do and that others could do, and that one of the ways to accomplish that was to live it fully. So that was the initial acronym, was living it fully every day. And then as I started getting more and more into my work, I realized that what I believe, and I do believe this is true, that our purpose for being here on this planet is to live in full expression of who we are, and that in doing so, we're actually giving the divine the opportunity to live in full expression and experience of itself. And as an aspect of the divine, I think that we all, that's our role in life, if you will. That's our primary purpose for being here. How we do it is what we're given the choice and the opportunity to do. But that's how it really came. It was just through a progression of looking at the word life and then my progression in terms of how I was approaching life and what I thought our real purpose for being here.
Beautiful. I strongly resonate with that. And so I guess this leads us to the next question, which is, what does it mean to live in full expression? How do you define that?
Living in full expression is living from our authentic self in every moment. And I'm going to say that that expression, living in full expression, does change in every moment, because it depends on where we are, what we're doing. It depends on the frame of mind that we might be in that particular moment. So living in full expression is being our authentic self to the best of our ability in each moment. And each moment offers the opportunity for us to live in full expression. So it's really looking at, well, who am I from the very core of who I am? It's not the labels I place on myself. It's certainly not the labels others might place on me, and unfortunately that I might try to live up to, because that totally takes me out of my true experience of myself. So it's being as authentic as I possibly can be. It's accepting that I am, as we all are, I'm just using myself as an example, but it's accepting that I am an aspect of the divine, and that as I fully experience and express myself, that the divine is also being fully experienced and expressed. So quite simply, it's being as authentic as we possibly can be in every moment that we can.
And we need to hear that message, I think, repeatedly in our lives right now, because we can be pulled away or pulled into other parts of our experiences. But when we consciously choose to return to this understanding of our authenticity and living in the moment, we really come back to our true power. And I felt, Jim, that throughout this book, you know, that was one of the messages that you beautifully explained was how we need to be true to ourselves and what it means to live from that place. And so, you know, I know there's so much to discuss in this book, friends, and I want you to know that it's available on Amazon.com. It's also available on Jim's website, Prosperity by Design, The Key to Life. And I'm saying that because I know how busy life is, and you can forget the titles of these things. So I really hope this one sticks for you. And so, Jim, can you please tell us, you know, a little bit more about your personal journey to becoming an author, becoming this messenger? And was there a particular turning point for you when you said, I really have to write this book and share this information with people?
Yes, there a specific turning point. The only thing that I can point to is when I was 13 years old, I was sitting in church one day with my parents. I was born and raised Christian. I would go to church with my parents and my siblings, but I would be with my parents on this particular day. And I was sitting in church, and church never really resonated with me, and it had nothing to do with my beliefs. It just didn't. The whole sense and feeling of being in church and what was being done just didn't resonate for whatever reason. And so I was sitting in church this one particular Sunday, and I'm just looking around, and all of a sudden there was this voice that said, as clear as can be, you're going to be doing this someday. Now, at 13 years old, I'm looking around, and I'm saying, there's just no way, because, again, as I just said, I didn't resonate with what was happening in the church and the way that things were progressing. So I knew that I was not going to be involved in a church, and I certainly wasn't going to be a minister standing up in front of a congregation at church. And it was a couple minutes later, the same clear voice said, you're going to be doing it differently. So really, since the age of 13, I've had this understanding that there was something that I was going to be doing. I didn't know exactly what it was. I knew it was a message I was going to be delivering, because there was something inside of me that kept telling me that there was something important that not only did I have to experience personally, because I think we have to have the experiences to truly be able to communicate effectively to others. So I knew there was an experience or experiences I was to have that would become a part of whatever this message was that I was to deliver. So my life just continued on, and it was fairly normal, like most people. I had good days, and I had bad days. I had some experiences that were exciting and rewarding, and then I've had some experiences that were difficult and challenging. And yet, through all those experiences, I just had this knowing, this awareness within me that there was something that I was being prepared for. And so I got into speaking and training in my mid-20s. I really started looking at prosperity and also human performance and what we're capable of doing. I got introduced to quite a few books and then metaphysical books at the time, which I had not really been exposed to. So this was in my mid-20s. Started reading up on it, and information started coming to me, and it just felt really, really comfortable. And I had this knowing. I would read a book, but I would already know what the book was saying, even though I'd never read the book before. And I don't mean the specific language, but the intent of the book. And it just got to the point where I started incorporating more and more of what I was learning and what I was receiving into my workshops and seminars. And I want to say that I've been in the real estate business for 36 years, so a lot of my presentations were in the real estate business. However, I would always incorporate into my training in real estate spiritual aspects, because when it gets down to it, that's what this is all about. It's about the personal experience for us being here, living in full expression. So I'd always bring that into the real estate and helping the realtors that I'd be talking to understand that their success in the industry is going to be dependent upon who they are in the industry, who they're being in the industry, who they're being in life. I don't want to just say that it's about real estate. So from that point, I got more and more into the more spiritual side of things. I started writing about it. I've been writing a blog. I had done quite a few workshops and seminars. And it just got to the point where I could no longer not write the book. And the book was started. I probably started about 2 years ago in terms of actually putting pen to paper and would work on it and get away from it. But what I found was as I had a new subject matter that would come up that would be a part of a book, I would then go through the experience of whatever that was so that I could write about it from an experiential standpoint. And a lot of this was just done over the course of weeks or months for each of the particular topics. And then just got to the point where started writing it, putting it together. And if you've ever written, or those of you who have written, you know that you start to over-edit things. And I just got to the point where I said, okay, enough. I got to let this go and trust that what I have put down on paper is the message that is to be delivered and let it go, and that any additional information will be the next book or the next book. So that was really how this whole process unfolded for me, and it's just been remarkable and incredible. And if there's anything that I learned, it was about myself. I learned a ton about myself in this process. And I think that's what I bring when I share my story, although I don't like to share my story specifically, but I like to share the information in terms of some of the things that I went through that are very similar to what everybody else has gone through, but applying the spiritual principles that I know and understand so that people can see they too are going through these same things, but maybe they don't quite understand exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. And one of the things that stood out to me, Jim, was how you have included a lot of information in one book. You know, there's 19 chapters, and every chapter is packed with different insights and different reminders and messages that we need to hear. And one of the things I loved was that it did feel, like I felt your authenticity. I felt, you know, a very genuine energy coming through as I was reading, because you do have this wisdom to share, and the information is just, it's beautifully written, and I loved it. So I could go on and on about all the good things that I liked about the book. But what I would love to do is actually kind of dive into some of the topics that you cover so that people get an idea of what you're sharing. And, you know, I thought that it was really important that you brought up in the second chapter what it means to be true to self and what that really is. Can you explain a little bit more about how we are needing to be true to ourselves?
Sure. And I want to thank you for those kind words about the book and you saying that my authenticity came through, because that was my intention. I can't talk about somebody being true to their self and living in full expression if I myself am not doing it in the process of writing a book about it. So I'm grateful that that came through, and I appreciate you mentioning that, so thanks. As far as being true to oneself, we all know when we're not being truthful to ourselves. We know, and I'm going in this direction because I think it'll be easier to kind of back into it. We know when we are living up to somebody else's expectations, or we're trying to do something somebody else wants us to do or expects of us. And a lot of times it is our parents, or it could be a friend of ours, or it could be the boss that we work for. We're trying to live up to their expectations when we know it's not who we are, but we feel that we have to. That also gets into another chapter of the book, which is called Living Conditionally, because we're living under the conditions other people impose upon us. But the whole idea of living in truth is just recognizing those times, and we all recognize this by a certain feeling we have inside ourselves. And it's not a feeling that I can tell you what it feels like, because it's going to feel different for everybody. But we all know our own truth, and our own truth is that thing, I'm just going to call it a thing, that thing within us that is our true guide, that will never lead us astray, that we know that we can count on. However, all too often we don't. For whatever reason, we don't trust it. We feel that people outside of us, friends, family members, those that have expressed concern and interest for who we are, we somehow, some way believe they know us better than we know ourselves, and we tend to trust their opinions of us and their values of us over our own opinion and over our own value of ourselves. So being true to yourself is recognizing the only opinion that really matters, and this is where in the introduction you said we're going to talk about being selfish. The only opinion that truly matters is mine. It doesn't matter what somebody else says about me. Now, somebody can say something about me, and it can be very positive, and I can hear what they say, but I want to make a decision not based on something somebody said because they said it and because it sounds good. but because I know inside of me, in my heart and in my soul, that what they said actually is the truth as I know it. And then the other thing holds true. People can say things about us that are perhaps negative or would hold us back from our true expression. And we can allow that to be what we accept as truth, and yet we know it's not true. And if we look at experiences we've had throughout our lives, and I'm going to say throughout our memory, because I do think on occasion we have the memory of previous lives, and that could be the deja vu experiences that we hear about so often, or it could just be some knowing. For some reason we have this knowing and this understanding. We know what our truth is. We know who we are. We know what we're all about. We know when we make a decision that's not in alignment with that truth as we know ourselves to be. And when Shakespeare said that, to thine own self be true, that is a spiritual truth and a spiritual principle that I think that if all of us, or as many of us as possible, could start living from that place within ourselves and make decisions based on that and really trust it, trust that that feeling inside of us is our true guidance. And the world would be a totally different place, but our lives would be totally different as well. And we'd be living more in accordance with the life that we truly desire to experience instead of one that may be showing up by default. And, of course, too many times when we see life as it shows up by default, we accept that as the way life is. And nothing could be further from the truth. We always have the opportunity to change the way our life is unfolding by making different choices.
Beautifully explained. And I feel that this chapter also relates to chapter 14, which is that it's all about me. And I feel it's important to talk about this because I know that many people listening on a spiritual path, you know, a spiritual path can be very lonely at times, and you're making adjustments in your life, and relationships are changing, and you're also expanding and discovering more. And so it has this component of it's time to make choices that are right for you. And as you said, Jim, we always have to trust what that is for ourselves. And so I think people struggle with that concept of, am I being selfish? And, you know, there's such negative connotations with that term. So I would love for people to know your take on this understanding of why it is all about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea of someone thinking about, is this selfish, is a very limiting belief, because it is preventing us from living in full expression. We have to understand that the only life that each of us has absolute control over is our own. We can say that we have influence over our children, over other people that might work with us or work for us or that are in our lives because of who we are. But it's still going to be that person's choice that's going to determine how their life continues from that point. They can accept what we provide them as guidance or information that we think might be of benefit to them, but ultimately they're the ones making the choice. So it is all about them. So when I speak of myself, and in particular the way this chapter is, I am the only person who can make the decision that's going to directly affect me. Nobody else can. And regardless of that choice, I'm also the one who's going to receive the consequence of that. Sometimes it's a challenging consequence. Sometimes it's a very beneficial consequence. But I want to elaborate on that for a second, too, because I want people to understand this. Regardless of the choice we make, the consequence is always a benefit. Even if it's a challenging consequence or something that we would label as being challenging or more difficult, because we're here to experience and express ourselves in as many different ways as possible. So even in those challenging times, or what I might call a challenging opportunity, we're giving the opportunity to experience and express ourselves within the context of that challenging opportunity, which is another wonderful experience. That helps us expand our experience and expression of who we are. So when we look at the being selfish or it being all about me, if I am being true to myself and I am making decisions that allow me to be the divine being that I am, then I'm going to reach out to other people. And I'm going to be reaching out to other people because it's who I am. It's not because somebody says, well, we're all supposed to be here to support and help one another. I don't want to do it because somebody says, well, it's what you're supposed to do. Because to me, there could be insincerity with that. There could also be somebody who says, well, the more good I do in the world, the more good it's going to come back to me. I'm going to receive something in return. Well, when you're being true to yourself, you're not concerned about that. You're being who you are. You're extending yourself to other people because that's who you are. That's the divine within you experiencing and expressing. So that's the difference. We have to be true to ourselves, because if we're not, then we're living conditionally, and we're not allowing the world to benefit from our full expression. See, the thing, too, is if I'm in this world being the most that I can be, experiencing and expressing myself as fully, as completely as possible, and when I talk about that again, I'm talking about from that authenticity, from my heart and from my soul, I'm going to be making the best decisions possible. I'm going to also be looking at the opportunities that are around me that are going to allow me to continue to live in full expression of who I am, which is, again, to do the best that I possibly can in all situations. I'm going to benefit other people, but I'm also going to be seen as an example. People are going to look at me and say, wow, I wonder what Jim's doing. Why is his life unfolding the way that it is? Why does he seemingly have all these opportunities and benefits that so many others don't have? So by my serving as an example, by living in full expression, is perhaps the greatest gift I or anybody can give to humanity, because we're showing them what's possible for them. So when I say it's all about me, it's all about me and what I can do, that ultimately when I am being who I know myself to be, it will be the greatest gift and benefit to everyone else that's out there.
Beautiful explanation. And I love how you linked this understanding with when you are not being yourself, you are living conditionally. I think that's really powerful, and I think that that bears repeating, because it makes this connection about, you know, we have to have the responsibility to be ourselves, and then that opens us up to so much more than we can ever see with or understand with our human minds, and that is how we, as you said, also reinforce the same energy for others and essentially give energetic permission, if you will, for everyone to do the same, to live from that place. And right. I also think that's how we all benefit together, that it impacts collective consciousness, that it really spreads in ways that are beyond measure.
Just one other thing that I would like to add to that, Molly, is that if someone were to see me, and let me just say this, I make mistakes all the time. I'm not sitting here saying that I am living this perfect life and I am always in full expression and I'm doing all the right things. I'm not. I'm a human being, just as everybody else is. I stumble and I fall. I pick myself up and I go in the direction the best I can. So it's not about anyone thinking that they're perfect. When someone would say, let's just suppose I'm living in full expression, and I'm doing a really good job, and I know that in this particular moment that I'm really full of that divine light, that divine energy that's in me, and I know that I'm expressing myself fully and completely, and it's a very positive and beneficial thing. Someone else can look at me and make derogatory comments by saying, well, who does he think he is, or why does he get all these things and I don't? That isn't about me. That's about that person that might be making those statements about me, and it's their limiting beliefs about themselves. So instead of seeing it as an example to them of what is possible, they're looking at it as what I'm doing is showing them where their limitations are. And that's not the purpose behind it. So it's really an opportunity for someone to change their perspective and to recognize that no one is better than anybody else. Perhaps someone has a better understanding, or perhaps someone has just a different perspective on life and what life is all about. Use it to the advantage to allow yourself to become similar to that person. I don't want to say like that person, but similar in terms of the way they experience and express themselves in their own way. And everyone has a unique expression they bring to this world.
That's a really good point, because I know that for many people listening to this show, as they expand on their spiritual journey and apply these spiritual understandings more realistically, that there are people in their lives, in all of our lives, who have flare-ups, if you will, and who do say, well, why do you think you're special, or why is this great thing happening to you and not me? And it's interesting, because it really creates this noticeable energy shift. And like you said, it's like this, when you step into living in your full expression, you're really loving yourself more and owning your own energies more. And also, you know, you speak about this too, you're getting away from any victim consciousness or denying of yourself. You're really stepping into all of you, and other people notice that, whether it's energetically, unconsciously, or what have you. So it's interesting, this full transition, because I think that people, it's really validating to hear, you know, that all of this stuff we go through is quite normal. with how we interact with other people as we shift and as we live in our full expression.
And we're going to have and probably have had people that have been an extremely important part of our lives that all of a sudden fall away. And by that I mean you might not be in contact with them as much, or your conversations or your dialogue are not as deep or as intense or maybe as meaningful as they might have been at one point in time. And it doesn't mean anything's wrong with either one of you. It just means that one of you might be a little further along, or perhaps your energy and your frequency is a little bit higher than that other person's, and you just don't resonate anymore. Now, the other thing is there was always somebody who will be resonating higher than every person. So if I'm around people or have been around people that have been special to me and they've all of a sudden fallen away and I no longer have the contact that I once did, that doesn't mean that I've all of a sudden made it, because there are people that I hang around with and I fall away from them because I don't resonate with them because of where they are now on their particular life's path and where they might be energetically and spiritually. There just isn't the same kind of connection. So we're going to have that situation happen. And that's why living in full expression is so important, because we give those people who might fall away from us the opportunity to raise their energy and their frequency. And again, it's not about somebody catching up with me or catching up with somebody else. It's about somebody catching up with themselves, because that's all they're trying to do. We're not to measure ourselves against other people. Basically, what we're doing is we're allowing more of ourselves to be seen, felt, experienced, and expressed. And we need to get out of our way to allow that to happen.
Absolutely, yes. So let's now move into the principle of non-attachment. This is really important, and it's something that is even more important as we responsibly own our energy and who we are in the world. So can you explain to us, Jim, the principle of non-attachment?
Yes, I can. And it, as you said, it is an extremely important principle. And it's probably one that has caused the most amount of conversation from people that have read the book or have heard me speak about it in one of my workshops or seminars. A lot of times people will think, well, if I become non-attached from everything, then I'm a loner. I don't love people. I don't have relationships. I am just kind of this person that's out there. And that's just the opposite of it. Because when we look at, I'm going to use a quote, which actually two quotes that have been attributed to Jesus. Most people know one of them. Another one they might not. And one of them that I refer to in the book is that we should be as passers-by. And basically that is where this whole notion of non-attachment came from, that as you go through life as a passerby, you appreciate, you accept, you enjoy, you embrace, you love, you have all the feelings and all the emotions attached with living life, but you don't become attached to any of it. The easiest example that I can use with that is looking at someone who may be working extremely hard because they have a certain monetary goal in mind, or they might even have a title that they're trying to achieve. It could be president of their company or president of the United States. It doesn't matter. They could be striving for that, and they become that title. They become the label. They become, okay, I'm the president, I'm the CEO, I'm whatever it is I might be, or I've achieved this level of income. And those are non-permanent things. All of a sudden, if that money goes away, or all of a sudden if you get fired from the company you were the CEO for, or if all of a sudden you're the president of the United States and you do something that some of them have done in the past that have really tarnished their own image and created a different perspective of them by people, and yet that's been your label of yourself, well, then you're lost. You've lost your identity. So living in full expression, again, is always living in truth of who you know yourself to be. Non-attachment means not becoming to anything of this, becoming attached to anything of this life. The other quote that was attributed to Jesus was, I'm in this world but not of this world. And that is what it means to me, is that we're in this world, we're to experience all of these incredible things that life here on planet Earth gives us the opportunity to experience, but we don't become attached to any of it because none of it is us. None of it describes us. I could have all the money in the world, but that doesn't describe who I am. It describes what I have. And I would much rather be known for who I am than what I have. So the idea of non-attachment, where it becomes a little more challenging, is when it comes to personal relationships. because someone will say to me, well, how can you be in a personal relationship non-attached? Or how can you have children? And anybody who has children knows that incredible bond you have with your children. Someone would say, well, how can you be non-attached? Well, again, I'll get back to the whole fact that we love our children immensely, yet we don't need to be labeled by them. I don't want to be known in this world, my son's name is Jamie, I don't want to be known as Jamie's dad. That's not who I am. I'm me. I am who I am. Jamie and I are related. I love him to death. I would do anything in this world for him. But what he does and who he is in this world is not me. And what he does and who he is only impacts me to the degree that I allow it to. And we do. As parents, we do. I'm not suggesting that it's easy. So I want to make sure that people understand that. But we're not to become attached to those things. When it comes to a love relationship or an intimate love relationship that we might have, what that means is you love fully, deeply, and completely. And in fact, when you live in non-attachment, you love more deeply and more completely than you would if you were attached. Because when you're attached, there's conditions placed on that love. But if those things are gone, you may no longer have the same feelings towards that person, or they may no longer have those same feelings towards you. Having a loving relationship where there's non-attachment involved means that I would allow that person I'm in relationship with be who she is, fully experience and express herself, even though there may be some things within that expression of herself that might make me feel sad or might make me feel like I was being left behind. But it's not about that. Now, if I allow, and I shouldn't say allow, that's not what it's about. If I'm in this relationship with this person and she is experiencing and expressing herself, and I am in non-attachment to those things, she's going to appreciate and respect and honor me more for how I am honoring and respecting her than if I became attached to it and started complaining about her being away all the time, about some things that she's doing. Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about somebody going out and having an affair or anything like that. That's not what this is about. This is about people living in their truth from their heart, and you're going to be making the highest possible decisions you can. The decisions that are in the highest and best for all concerned, that person and everyone around them included. So really, non-attachment is just not becoming attached to any of these things that would label us as something other than ourselves, fully enjoying and embracing and appreciating everyone around us, fully appreciating and embracing all that life has to offer, but recognizing that it's all temporary. It's here for while we're here. When we're no longer here, none of that matters. What matters is the experience and expression of self that we've had while we were here. That's what moves on with us.
Wonderfully explained, and you're so gifted with the explanations, the words, everything that you describe, so it makes it all very clear to anyone who's brand new to this understanding to know that this is such an important concept that can enhance, really enhance your life and shift it in a phenomenal way. I mentioned at the top of the hour how there are so many topics covered here in the book, and I think that what I want to make sure people know is that, Jim not only has this book, but he's also a marvelous speaker, a wonderful coach, and you can work with him through some of his sessions. So, Jim, I want to make sure that people know that you do offer on your website, Prosperity by Design, some services there. Do you mind just giving us a quick blurb about what they can find there if they want to work with you more personally?
Yes. There are I just put two new coaching packages together that are on my website, prosperitybydesign.com, and they're special packages. It's not just the one-on-one coaching. There's some other extras, if you will, that are a part of that. There's more contact with me in between the sessions that we might have. There is a copy of my book, an e-book version of my book. There's also a program that I put together called the 7 Keys to Life Mastery, and that really is the premise behind the coaching that I do. There's 7 very specific keys, and interestingly enough, they go alphabetically. It was 7 words that I was given one day when I was walking, and they were in alphabetical order. And they just delineated what I believe we all, if we paid attention to this, if we followed this, I should say, then we'd be living more in full experience and expression of who we are. And the interesting thing to this is none of it's new information. There probably isn't anything that I've said today that is brand new to anybody. Maybe a little different tweak or perspective. But it's all information that we've all heard before, because innately we already know all that is. And what we're in need of doing, and this is really what the coaching is about, is bringing that forward or bringing it up within each person that I have the opportunity to work with one-on-one. So these coaching packages, they have a specific number of one-on-one coaching sessions with me. And then they include, as I said, some other extras that are a part of that. The reason I'm not being more specific is I just put them up and I'm having a hard time remembering everything that was on there, and I don't have it in front of me. But there are, I think, 5 or 6 different things that are included within each coaching package. And then I do workshops and seminars as well. I don't have any that are scheduled right now, but I am going to be doing a teleconference or teleseminar on the 7 Keys to Life Mastery, and I hope to be doing that within the next 30 days or so. So if anybody is interested in that, that's going to be posted on my website pretty soon as well. And I think that's going to be a really interesting and exciting teleseminar. I think it's going to be three or four nights, consecutive weeks, but one night a week, so that people have the opportunity to incorporate the information that they've received during each one of those sessions. But I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be a really fun program for people to participate in. Then, of course, they can buy my book, and my book really contains a lot of all the things that I do in my workshops and seminars and a lot of the things that I do within my coaching one-on-one with people. But, of course, the coaching allows me to work with that individual so they can incorporate the principles that are contained within the Key to Life, Living in Full Expression.
Great. Wonderful. I love that there are different ways that people can connect with you and work with you. And everybody, that is on Jim's website, prosperitybydesign.com, and he's also on Twitter and Facebook if you hang out there as well. Now, Jim, I would love to dive into another topic that you discussed, and this one is actually in Chapter 16, and the chapter title is called This Time Around, and you talk about the soul and what is our soul, and I would love for people to know what you have to share about this information and this time around that we're all sharing together.
Well, as the title implies, this time around means that we have been here before. And I truly believe that. I believe a lot of what I have been given to understand and know has been the result of many lifetimes leading up to this one. And I think that's true for all of us. And for the most part, the people who we connect with in our lives are people that we had been connected to in our other lives. I think we go through this whole process of incarnating with these groups of people that are here to support and benefit us all. And that's why there's a lot of times recognition of somebody, even though you might say, well, I never met this person during this particular lifetime. So that really is what that's all about, this time around. It's about this incarnation that is benefiting from the previous ones. I quite honestly don't believe that we come here in a new incarnation to, like karma. I don't think we come here to make amends for something we did before, because I believe everything that happens in each lifetime, they're nothing more than, I don't mean to minimize that, but they're nothing more than experiences. And my belief is we're here to experience and express ourselves in as many ways as possible. So each thing that happens during each lifetime was another experience of myself. Now, we could come here I don't want to say relive the experience, but we could come here to have a different experience of a similar experience. Maybe we play out the other side of it, where what we might have done to somebody else before, we come here and we say, okay, well, this time I want to play the other side. I want to see what that really felt like when I did that before, and I'm going to say for the benefit of. When I did that before for the benefit of this person so they could have that experience in their lives, I want to have them play that role in my life this time so that I can have that same experience myself. And so that's why I think we come in and out of one another's lives to give us that opportunity to be able to have those life experiences that we come here to live. And we're all here living in each other's lives to allow for that to happen. But one of the interesting thing is one of the dedications, or the dedication I have at the beginning of the book, is that I want to thank all of those who have played their role so perfectly and beautifully in my life that I might live in full experience and expression. And I mean that. And anybody who would be hearing this interview, anybody that would hear that is also playing a role, because whatever happens to them or for them, and certainly would all be on their benefit by listening to this call, that means I've played a role in their lives. It's going to allow them to have a different experience of themselves. Molly, you and I being on this call together. We're impacting one another in a very positive, beneficial way, and we are giving each other an opportunity to have an experience of ourselves as a result of our interaction.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that the benefit of supporting each other in our growth is an important point, because there is a lot to gain from every experience. There's a lot to learn, both in our human senses, but also in our spiritual sense, in terms of compassion, understanding, forgiveness, all those wonderful things that we have the opportunity to experience and to know as part of our human experiences.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing in this chapter, too, that I want to bring up, because we were talking about words earlier, and this particular word was one that came to me that just kind of jumped out. It was like, wow, that seemed to me to be more the real word than the word that we use. And the word that I use in the book is sojourn, S-O-U-L-J-O-U-R-N. And I think we all know what the word sojourn is, and that just means that it's a short temporary stay somewhere. So I started looking at this, well, sojourn means a short temporary stay, the soul having a short temporary stay, and in this case here in the earth plane. So we're each here on a sojourn to allow the experience and expression of ourselves while we're here. And then, of course, as we just talked, we interact with others, and they interact with us in our lives to help create those opportunities where we live in full expression of who we are. And then the other thing around soul, because you asked specifically about soul, is this was another one of those words, and this just really jumped out at me, because I was thinking one morning when I was walking about what the soul is, and I've been given quite a few definitions for that. And I wanted to have something that would be very simple for people to understand. And so I was thinking about the word soul and the spelling of it, S-O-U-L, and all of a sudden what jumped into my awareness was that soul stands for source of unconditional love. So if we think about what the divine is, I think most people would say, well, the divine is, or God, or spirit, or whatever term you might want to apply to this, that entity, whatever that is unconditional love, or would express unconditional love. So when I looked at soul and saw a source of unconditional love, I thought that was a really profound way to look at what the soul is. And so each of us has a soul within us, and that within us is the source of unconditional love, and that's what we're fully experiencing and expressing in our lives. And I just wanted to share that to make sure that came out around this conversation of soul. I think it's a real easy way for people to perhaps better understand what that is within us.
Yes, and I loved that sojourn usage. I thought that was genius, and I think that is a wonderful connection for people to make. So thank you for going into that and letting people know that understanding around it. I love how the insights come to you through words, and that there's a lot of fun wordplay, that you know you're really receiving messages related to vocabulary and communications, because it just enhances your natural skills and abilities. It's really cool how these things connect, right? Like you're receiving information you need through words, which is one of your expertise.
It happens. I walk every morning. And they usually walk between 5:30 and 6 o'clock, and I do that intentionally because I really don't want to run into a whole bunch of people. So I would rather be outside where it's quiet, where there's nothing but me and nature, and I do see animals all the time. And I'm very clear. Obviously, waking up, I'm as clear as I'm going to be probably during the day, and it's just when I would take those walks, and I'm just open and connected and receptive to whatever might come through. That's where I'm given a lot of this information, and it typically will come as a word, or it could come as a phrase, and it'll just start to expand. And I'll play with it. It doesn't happen immediately, but I'll start to play with it and think about it. So once it's in my consciousness, I then pay attention to what's happening around me. It'll be all kinds of things that happen that would help me elaborate whatever that particular message or principle might be. And honestly, sometimes it doesn't play out the way that I would want it to, or I'll write it down and I'll play with it, and sometimes I get a little too hasty in my posting of it on Facebook or somewhere else, but I'll go back and I'll change it, because during the course of the day, I'll get a much clearer understanding of the meaning behind what it was that I was given. And that's really the way it's evolved. A lot of the stuff that you see in the book, and you probably noticed that there's a lot of quotes in the book. I think there's 41 quotes, and those are all quotes that were given to me. It's not things that I've copied from someone else. There's a couple in there that I've used from someone else, but they're given credit for it. But all the other ones are ones that were given to me in these morning walks. and became very easy ways for me to understand a very specific spiritual principle. And then that's what I do, is go into the explanation of it with some of this. And in fact, my next book is going to be entitled Immersed in the Silence of the Dawn, and that's what that's about. It's going to be about these different quotes that I've been given, these different words that I've been given, go into more definitive detail about the meaning of it to me, but also not limiting the fact that it could mean something to somebody else differently. And I want people to understand that. This is not about me telling you this is the way it is. This is me telling you this is the way it is for me. And if it resonates with you, great. If it causes you to think, even better. Because everybody needs to come to their own conclusion about who they are and what they're here for and how they can best experience and express themselves.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you mentioned, Jim, that you do have many phrases and quotes in the book. So I'd love to know which one or which two are the most powerful or inspiring to you?
There's two for me that really are my mantras. And one of them I used when I was writing the book, and it really helped me get through those times when I was doubting myself. And it's interesting, when you write a book about empowerment and better understanding who you are, one would think that you would be fully empowered, but you go through every emotion and every negative thought about yourself and every limiting belief that you can imagine. So there was a lot of beating myself up during the process of writing this book. And the quote that I was given that I used, and it's in a couple of different places in the book, is, we would not be inspired to do something if it wasn't intended to be. And if it is intended to be, all for it to be is provided. And I believe that with all my heart and soul, that any inspiration that any of us is given, we are given that inspiration because it is intended to be. And that's where we have free will. We can choose to honor that inspiration and move forward with it, or we can choose not to. And that's where our passion lies. That's where our true expression of ourselves lies, is in that inspiration that we're given. And I think we can all relate to what I'm about to say, and that is that many of us, I'm sure, have awakened in the morning and we've had this unbelievable inspiration to do something, this idea that we just know is going to be the next greatest thing that's ever been invented or experience that anybody could have. And so we're excited and we're just full of energy and enthusiasm about it. We're really passionate about it. But then come lunchtime, we've talked ourselves out of it. We've thought of all the reasons why it can't be. We thought about all the things that our family and friends might say about us if we do this. We think about the fact that they're going to say, well, that's stupid. Nobody would buy that book, or nobody would want to hear what you have to say. And that's where to thine own self be true has to come into play, because I have to honor my own opinion of myself over the opinion that others might have of me or what I might do. So that quote, extremely important and beneficial to me. And I'll say it again one more time. And that is, we would not be inspired to do something if it wasn't intended to be. If it is intended to be, all for it to be is provided. And then the other quote that I use, and this again is another mantra of mine, it's, today what I know to be true, tomorrow might not be. And this keeps me in check, because it helps me recognize that I only know the truth to this moment, and the truth being what I know as true for me. It doesn't mean it is the truth. It doesn't mean that it's the truth for anybody else. It just means that it's the truth that I know to this moment. But somebody could say something to me, or I could have an experience, or I could read something that changes what I understand as the truth. And so that's the whole purpose of this. Today what I know to be true, tomorrow might not be. It's just recognizing that it's only what I understand and know to this moment, or what I've experienced to this moment, and that each moment brings another opportunity to expand into a greater truth. And typically it's a greater truth of who I am in relation to life, relation to the world, in relation to other human beings. So those two are, to me, the most powerful ones.
Both powerful, both beautiful. Those are wonderful. I remember coming across a few in the book, and I just thought, wow, these are wonderful insights, little gems of wisdom. And so thank you for including those. Of course, you were guided to, but it really adds to the book. If you're just joining us, we've been talking with author and spiritual coach Jim Phillips. We only have a few moments left, but Jim has been sharing with us wisdom and insights from his book, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. And you can find more about Jim and everything he offers and shares on his website, prosperitybydesign.com. And because we only have just a few moments left, Jim, I'd just love to know, you know, what would you like people to take away from this book? What is the, if you could hold one intention for every reader, what is that intention for them?
The intention is to not only just accept and embrace, but to know, to absolutely know that they are far greater than they believe themselves to be, far greater. And in fact, one of the things that I share with people in some of my workshops is I'll ask them, I'll say, imagine the grandest version of yourself possible. And I'll give them an opportunity to feel that. And when I say feel that, I mean to actually get into the feeling of it. What is the grandest experience and expression of yourself, the grandest vision of yourself you can possibly have? And then I say, okay, now imagine it grander. And they see that they can do that, that if we actually take the time and we're conscious with it, we can always imagine ourselves grander than the previous vision we had of ourselves. And that's where the imagination is so powerful, and that's what gives us that opportunity to continue our expansion process. And then wrapped around all of that, it's awareness. I think if there's one thing, and in fact this is the first key to the seven keys of life mastery, it's awareness. It's being aware of everything that's happening around you, and to be aware of everything that's happening within you, and to recognize that there's a correlation between the two, that our feelings that we are having on the inside are what are being experienced and expressed on the outside. And that if you want to change your outside experience, then you need to change the way you are inside. And that really is getting back to this whole idea of self-love, trusting yourself, believing in yourself, fully experiencing and expressing yourself. And as I said earlier, that's the greatest gift that we can give to one another, is living in full expression of who we truly are.
Beautiful, wonderful. I think I will leave it at that, because you explained it so wonderfully, and I love how, again, your sincerity and your authenticity comes through in your voice. That vibration is so strong that this information is really going to resonate with people who are also at that same place on their journey. So thank you so much for being here, Jim. It's been a true pleasure to speak with you and to hear more about your wonderful book, Living in Full Expression. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. I want to say congratulations and all the best with your Spirituality University. I think that's wonderful, an incredible opportunity for people. So anybody who's hearing what I'm saying, make sure you check it out. I think it's a great place for people to be able to continue their personal journey and experience and expression of themselves.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And don't forget, friends, you can find Jim on Facebook and on Twitter. And I hope that you enjoyed all of this information and, of course, that you are interested in discovering his book. You won't regret it, I can tell you that. Join me next week for another consciousness-raising topic. Have a wonderful, beautiful day ahead. And thanks again, Jim, for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Take good care. We'll see you next time.